What's up, what's up? Dallas Jesuit coming to you live today from the Newhoff household. It's Christian Bartholomew alongside Ferris Bueller.
Ferris here with Cameron Fry watching the first game of Monday Night Football.
We're all pretty excited for that, Scotty, man.
Let's go Pats. We've got some Jesuit football today. A little bit of Jesuit fall baseball. We'll talk a little bit of Texas Rangers, give you some insight on the Cowboys, and finish it up with our hot sports topic of the week.
And as always, Jesuit, you're going to find it here. Jesuit's number one talk show, Scotty Bart Sports Show.
Let's get things rolling, Christian.
Shall we?
Now, last Friday, the Jesuit Rangers took on the Coppell Cowboys in a much-anticipated football matchup. Coppell being ranked 7th in the state, I think I speak for almost the entire Jesuit community when I say that I didn't think we had much of a chance to win that game.
But you know what, Scotty? There was one group of men out there that said, you know what? We have a chance.
They were the big boys with the big abilities.
Jesuit football team, of course. You know, I'll be honest. I did not. Wow, I'm sorry. We just saw an amazing catch
by Anthony Fasano
out of Notre Dame. But anyways, going back to this game, Scott. You know, a lot of the guys I talked to, classmates, teachers, underclassmen, you know, they were like, you know what, 7th ranked in the state. I don't think we have a chance. But as one honorable mention player, Michael Stevens, said, no. We have a chance. We're going to do it.
Led by the new regime of Brandon Hickman, the Rangers look sharp. Coach Heim also on the sideline there. Big Daddy Corey Pointer wearing a headset, getting the team fired up.
Always.
But I think the real credit needs to go to Jeremy Weeks. Jeremy Weeks, you may not know of him if you're not familiar with the Jesuit football team. Coach Jeremy Weeks always giving the players their much-needed electrolytes before the game. Those electrolytes really give our team the spark that's going to carry them deep into the game, into the fourth quarter, when men are separated from little boys, when the big calves come out.
Void of a strength and conditioning coach last year, Coach Jeremy Weeks stepped in, took the position by the horns, as some would say, and has really put on some added weight, some added muscle to our Jesuit football team.
Coach Weeks has got this team looking good and feeling good.
Of course, naturally.
Now, the big storyline of the game, there were two. First, we'll start with the happy news. Jake Oliver hauled in 17 catches for over 250 yards and two more touchdowns.
You know, this is easily the best receiver Jesuit has seen in probably 25 or 30 years.
Now, Brian Wetzel would have done some special things last year, had an ankle injury not derailed his season, but Jake's been looking and feeling really good out on the field.
Now, Scott, before we get ahead of ourselves here, we need to remember the score of the game.
It was 35-28. We lost.
But the big play came at the end of the game with only 2 seconds left on the clock. This is kind of a tragedy now, folks, but Jack Brissett has broken his leg. Two bones, I think, in his left leg, I want to say. And it looks like he may be out for quite some time.
He's taken down by some behemoth men from Coppell. It's unfortunate that this had to happen. And our thoughts and prayers are with Jack, and we wish him a speedy recovery. The Rangers will turn to senior Brian Buell. Very exciting to see Brian get out on the field. I'll be looking forward to supporting him and hoping that he can continue the run the Jesuits had. I know we're in very capable hands.
Brian is an extremely gifted athlete. You know, he's got that leadership role, and he's already guaranteed a win for this week, which is a bye, but he's guaranteed a win.
That's interesting to note. Christian, it is, in fact, a bye week, as the seniors will be on community days. I know Coach Hickman's probably distressed that he will not have the week to prepare his team, but, you know, as it may be.
Well, this Jesuit football team is extremely focused, Scott. I don't think it's going to be an issue.
You're right. Anytime you've got the off-the-field leadership they have with one Colt Weems, even though he can't suit up to play, you know, he's there. He's on the sideline, and his spirit runs rampant with the team. It's like a, you know, it's like a wild stallion.
A Colt.
Exactly.
Essentially.
Blazing through the
We can all only hope that someday we, as humans, may ride the Colt.
Very exciting times for the Jesuit football team, very exciting times for Colt Weems, and very exciting times for Jake Oliver. Hopefully he continues this run towards greatness and can propel Jesuit to the next level.
And now, Jesuit, it's Diamond Talk preseason.
Jesuit baseball just started up last Tuesday with a game over Southlake. The Jesuit gold team won the first game through some solid pitching efforts, especially by the man sitting to my left.
And to his right.
But anyway,
Scott Weiss, actually, you actually earned the win in that game, did you not?
I believe I did. You know, I pitched three innings.
And tell me what else you did in that game offensively.
Offensively, I received my first at bat for the Jesuit Rangers in exactly too long for me to remember. What happened? Well, I went up there. My helmet was a little loose-fitting, and after watching Chris Cisneros take one right in the dome, I thought, you know what? This could be a career ender. I talked to the catcher behind the plate. I told him. I said, I'm just going to get up there, and I'm going to swing for the fences. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. I have no idea. I haven't swung a baseball bat in months. Years. I got up there. Guy's throwing a little quick. It's mid-80s. I'm late on the first couple. All of a sudden, 3-2 pitch. I'm out in front a little bit. I can handle it, though. And I hit a towering fly ball to the deepest part of second base. Mark McLemore played in the major leagues. His son, manning second base, heads out behind the bag, fields the pop fly, but can't get the throw in time to stop the runner from third scoring.
A sack fly, Scotty. You should be proud of yourself.
I am proud of myself.
Now, I also had my first at bat probably 2 years or so.
Now, walk us through that, Christian.
Well, I went up to the plate, and I knew that this pitcher was throwing pretty quick. You know, he's a talented kid, and I knew that he'd probably throw me a fastball first pitch. But the synapses in my brain didn't want to respond quick enough to get the bat off my shoulder, so I watched the first pitch, the best pitch of the bat, go right down the middle. And I didn't take the bat off my shoulder for the rest of the bat, but I got a walk.
Well, that's exciting.
So 0-for-0, you know. You know, it's not bad, but it's just not great. Now, Scott, give me some overview of what you think this Jesuit team has moving forward.
I think the team's got a lot of character and a lot of heart. Our team leader, Chris Cisneros, really is the glue that holds us together. Joe Powell, playing a stellar shortstop, made a few great plays. A little shaky on the mound, but that's to be expected in his first start. Look for Joe to get it.
I wouldn't be surprised to see some of the juniors step up big. Al Higgins.
Be nice to see another man with big calves really fill that void.
Christmas Hams, even.
Yes, you could say that.
J-Mac struggles, strong arm out of right field.
Always loving J-Mac. Maybe Nick Campagna. Campagna had a lady friend at the game. She was looking and feeling really good.
Now, was this perhaps a direct result of his 0-for-2 night? I don't know. You be the judge, but
all I can say is she made my time in left field worthwhile.
Sure. I mean, the majority of the eyes in the right field dugout were kind of pointed towards the stands, but, you know,
why would you watch the game?
That's for another discussion.
Probably for another show.
Sure.
Anyway, Stuart Deary played pretty well at second base. He made two
sophomore
very nice plays.
You know, he and Max Reddy, two sophomore sensations. There's a strong possibility, you know, they could be seeing some time up at the big boy level.
It's possible. You like Max. His father's the hitting coach for the San Diego Padres. Max looking good. But, you know, I was really more impressed with Stewart because it's impossible to get him out. And do you know why that is?
Well, Scott, you were quoted as saying, watch out, watch out. This kid doesn't have a soul. He can't get out.
Exactly. Stewart Deary is, in fact, a redhead, the second redhead in the Jesuit baseball program, joining the prestigious Nick Mann.
Famous for his the unhittable slow curve.
Slow curve, probably the best pitch in baseball. Very exciting year for the Jesuit Rangers. I'm looking forward to it going forward.
Now, Scott, let's transition a little bit to the big, big boy level. The Texas Rangers. I don't know, folks. Call me a genius or something, but I think Scott and I predicted a Derek Holland victory last week and a Colby Lewis loss. Did that come true? Sure. Yeah, it did.
Colby Lewis has been pitching poorly pretty much all season. His inconsistency has been remarkable.
Well, he's right at 500 for his win percentage.
That's good. And Dutch Oven, Derek Holland, has been playing spectacularly.
You know, he's a real big on and off kind of guy, Scott.
But when he's on...
Yeah, and he's been on these past couple of weeks. I don't really see any team that can stand in the way. Now, we're 2.5 games ahead of the Angels leading into tonight. The games haven't happened yet, but... You know, that last series could be really, you know, come down to the wire.
It could. It could come down to the end. Those last three games in L.A., I believe, against the Angels could determine who goes to the playoffs. Now, C.J. Wilson, his contract's up after this year. He is making himself money with every start. C.J. not wearing down, really stepping up his game as the season comes to a close.
Yeah. Naturally. I mean, the guy's a little crazy, a little cocky. I like that, though, in a pitcher. You know, he gets up there on the mound, nothing bothers him. He just kind of does his own thing.
It's well documented that pitchers are weird. Prime example would be Trevor Bauer or Brian Wilson. Tim Lincecum.
Mark Frederick. I mean, you can go back.
The Bird.
Way back. I mean, everywhere you go, there's going to be a weird pitcher. Yeah,
pitchers are always noted for their strange, strange mentality.
Now, as we're watching the Patriots-Miami Dolphins game, Scott, this brings me to another point. Dallas Cowboys losing yesterday in New York. Very strong atmosphere in New York, you know, following 9/11. And they kind of blew it.
They actually really blew it. You know, they had the lead late. They had a big lead late. Tony Romo looked sharp for the first three quarters. Dez Bryant, unstoppable in the first drive. Had three catches for 71 yards and just really looked like the dynamic playmaker that the Cowboys drafted him to be. But late in the game, a few miscues, a Romo fumble inside the 5-yard line, a blocked punt by USC's Joe McKnight, resulting in a special teams touchdown for the Jets, and a late interception by Tony Romo to Darrell Revis really set up the...
Scott, let me ask you a question. When are games won and lost?
Fourth quarter.
Where was Dez Bryant in that fourth quarter?
He was nowhere to be found.
The man had to get an IV put into his skin to replenish his nutrients. It was 75 degrees. Come on. And he's been conditioning in 100-plus degree weather here in Dallas. I'm sorry, but that's just unacceptable from your number one receiver.
It is inexcusable for a guy really looking to make a name for himself, potential Pro Bowl year this year. You know, you want to see him do a better job.
Now, Tony Romo, the big story of the night, I can't even dwell into that right now.
Mixed reviews. You know, a lot of people are ready to burn him at the stake, really. They're looking for his head on a platter. But he's still got some loyal following. I know that one Nick Ackles, you know, avid Romo supporter.
Now the new Ryan defense, the one positive Cowboys fans can take out of this, the Ryan defense was looking great. You know, they were getting shredded to pieces in the preseason. It was just ugly, giving up just loads of yardage but on the run. But, you know, they only gave up somewhere between 60 or 70 runs.
Yeah, the Sanchez had a pretty nice night, but he had to throw the ball, you know, well over,
that's
over 30
the,
times
most,
to do that.
That's the most times that the Jets have thrown the ball under Rex Ryan.
And, you know, you couldn't have expected a stellar night from the secondary with Jenkins and Scandrick, you know, banged up, and Newman missing the entire game. That's your three top cover corners. It's going to be a tough night in the secondary with that.
But you know what? Moving forward, you know, I'm seeing this Cowboys team, you know, I'm kind of looking at this, you know, feeling them at like 9-7, maybe 8-8. You know, I'm not feeling overly optimistic. This conference is just too tough.
Yeah, but the only good news for the Cowboys is that their division could be weaker this year. They are with the stacked Eagles team, you know, the dream team. They look great again. Mike Vick leading that team. DeSean Jackson playing for a new contract. Steve Smith playing receiver for them. Mm-hmm. LeSean McCoy, fantasy hero, looking great.
And the addition of
Nnamdi Asomugha in that secondary, they're going to be tough to beat. But the Giants really dropped a pretty easy game against the Redskins. I don't see anything out of either of those teams.
You know, we're just going to have to keep coming back to this, you know, week after week. There's really just no...
It's going to be an up-and-down season for the Cowboys, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Now, Scotty, you know what time of the show it is.
What time, Christian?
You tell me.
It's time for the Scotty Bart Sports Show Hot Sports Topic of the Week. This week's hot sports topic is the Little League World Series.
Now, folks, I understand it's just a little bit outdated. You know, it was a month and a half ago, but this is something that makes me so indignant. I have to talk about it now because we didn't have a chance. Scott, the Little League World Series is so overhyped and exploits these young children. It's just not necessary for me. You know, it takes 3 weeks out of the kids' time. 3 weeks in which ABC supposedly made over $125 million off these kids. Do you think the kids get any money from that? No, of course not. It's tough for me to watch it.
it is hard to see these kids playing so many games at such a young age. Think the way they exploit them is wrong. And I think, you know, I think anytime you use 11, 12, and 13-year-olds, you know, to make upwards of, what I believe, 20 to 100, I don't even know, many millions of dollars is just, it's wrong. You know, there's something about it that's not good. And these kids, they get burned out playing this many games, and it really ruins their baseball futures. They play so many games during the summers that by the time they're 15 and 16 and it's, you know, time to make that next step of commitment, you're playing 40 games for your high school team, you're playing 60 games for your summer team, and then you're playing tournaments every weekend and games every week in the fall. You're looking at upwards of 140 games a year. That's a major league workload. You know, these kids are going to be burnt out.
Now, Scott, here's an interesting fact for you. The Little League World, like the Little League Baseball, the whole, you know, organization, the whole company, whatever you want to call it, it's supposed to be a non-profit organization. Here's a little fun fact. In 2009, they brought in $22.1 million in revenue, tax-free. Where do you think that money went?
I don't know. Did it go to the players, Christian?
You know what? I highly doubt it. You think it went to the parents, maybe? No, it went right into the pockets of the bigwigs.
ABC rakes that in. And I don't know who else they share it with.
Well, ABC and ESPN, you know, a joint company.
Yeah, the $38.1 billion Walt Disney Company, just ridiculous. And Little League Baseball, they've had $73 million in assets, you know, since 2009. But, you know, according to one report, every player could receive a stipend of $750 every time the team appears on television.
Now, I'm not saying that these players need to be given that money directly. That's inappropriate. They're not mature enough. But what? Here's a thought for you. Put it into a college fund for these kids. Give them something to build on, something to work towards.
Exactly.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. You know, that the $750 would only, you know, amount to $1.18 million. You subtract that from a $22.1 million profit, you're still looking at a $19.3 million profit, and that's tax-free. They're still coming off great.
Oh, they're coming off great just making any kind of revenue, honestly, exactly, for a non-profit organization. It's a little ridiculous in my mind. But, you know, I just don't even like the whole concept of it. You know, you're just, these kids, they're too young for me. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing some high school games broadcasted in the summer. You know, I played some games this summer against teams that were just flat-out ridiculous. Where are those kids getting their exposure? I don't know.
So, anyway, the Little League World Series, maybe not the best thing, you know, that people have ever had in mind. Probably needs to be looked into at some point, the fact that they're exploiting these kids.
Well, Jesuit, it's been another great week. No game this week, so not really anything to schedule for you, but be safe on your bye week, and alongside the likes of the Human Sasquatch, Scott Weiss, it's Christian Bartholomew.
I'm about to go donate all of my hair to Locks of Love.
Unlikely.
Probably not. Take care, Jesuit.
Sun's out, guns out.